Welcome back to Radio Islam International. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. It is the program known as Screaming Reels, and of course this weekend being the last weekend for the Screaming Reels program just before the month of Ramadan. Of course thereafter, inshallah, we then will resume as normal with our program. And we say to all of our listeners out there that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it a beneficial and a Mubarak month of Ramadan. First, let us welcome Ali with us on the line. Ali, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Manana Sajjatimol, and to all our wonderful, wonderful listeners on this beautiful and chilly morning.
What's happening, Ali?
Today, alhamdulillah.
Not so chilly, Ali. The way you said chilly, I thought maybe I'm overdressed.
It's got a little bit of a chill in the air. I was outside this morning. What happened is we had planned to do a special program from the river this morning, but unfortunately, you know, with the weather comes some funny kinds of sicknesses and stuff. So my little youngster, my youngest one, wasn't too well. So I didn't want a chance to go out this weekend. I'm actually quite happy now, snuggled here with the blanket and warm coffee, talking to you on the radio. it's not fishing protocol or outdoor protocol, but what can you do?
Definitely. Same here, Ariel. I think everybody at home, the wife, the kids, all of them knocked out with the flus. But I was saying yesterday, you know, sometimes you actually feel it might just be better you got it just before Ramadan than in Ramadan itself, Ariel.
No, definitely, yeah. You don't want to have anybody sick in Ramadan. We're all looking forward, inshallah, to a good Ramadan. The spirit is high. You know, you're in Azadwal Sharif, mashallah. You can feel that environment change. You can feel the spirit of Ramadan coming into the community. You know, wherever you walk, wherever you... Well, there's a lot of spring roll purr and samosa purr and all of that being sold and the pies being made at home and stuff like that. Sometimes you feel guilty, you know, because I think only in Ramadan you get to chow. Sometimes in Ramadan you chow better things than what you do normally. But I suppose that's all part of the spirit of Ramadan, alhamdulillah. So we're looking forward to that, inshallah.
You know, just on a lighter note, Ali did say that the weather-wise, he said the weather changed tremendously because of the women folk opening their freezers because of Ramadan.
How true that is, how true. But we always get the blame for it, you notice.
Oh, is it, Ali?
I say the men, the husbands.
Yeah.
You always get the blame for it. Like, you know, I'm making this for you. I mean, how much samosa do you really eat?
Yeah, no, you know, then you have to ask the ladies, are you guys keeping Rosa right through, like not eating anything?
let's not get into hot water and, you know, we have to go through the rest of the day listening to, you know, shouting or whatever it is.
The rest of the month you got still, boss. Also, just to mention, I don't know if you heard earlier on this morning, there was a message that was saying that the boxer Muhammad Ali passed away as well.
I was actually looking at that, yeah. It's a very sad, you know, being a person who was so involved, you know, in his community as well. And alhamdulillah, he's, you know, there's a lot of stuff if you do read on the write-ups on Muhammad Ali. You know, he was a very...
real image for Islam.
A believer, and yes, and a very good advocate for Islam.
Definitely.
As well. So that's a big loss, you know, being sort of a legend in his own right in terms of what he's achieved in his lifetime. So, yeah, as for the Muslim community, you know, we do feel that. And we make dua, inshallah, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants him ease and
the highest days in Jannah.
And Jannatul Firdaus, inshallah.
Ameen, inshallah. Well, Ariel, let's talk fishing. We know that we don't have much time again on our hands, like always. And we're always running short of time, always fighting for time on the Screaming Reels program. Just tell us, I don't know from your side if you have yet made, or perhaps it's still too early, but after Ramadan, do you have any serious plans for yourself, Ali? Or are you still going to say it's still going to be a bit too chilly?
No, you know what, just after the holiday, the school holiday, which obviously Ramadan is going to end in the first week of the school holiday, and then after that, we do have plans, you know, to revive our survival camp. We've got a lot of queries and a lot of people wanting to go out. One of the things that we are going to try to do, inshallah, is a father and son camp, where we have fathers and, you know, bringing their boys along for the camp. So we've got quite a lot of programs. There's also some new resorts that we want to do a review, and also, you know, looking at the possible venues for taking people out for fishing, etc. So there is going to be quite a bit of work after Ramadan and after the holidays, alhamdulillah, and we're looking forward to that. You know, just a little bit about today's program. We had planned to go to Woolwaters, but unfortunately I had to cancel the trip. It would have been excellent to be at the river. Just last week my brother and them were out again at Silverstrom, and they were catching very big yellow. So the big fish are around. You know, I mean, we spoke to Lukman. He always tells you that winter time doesn't mean the fishing stops. It's just that you've got to fish a little bit more, you know, longer, harder, but the rewards are better because you got the bigger fish coming out of the water as well. Yeah, so that's basically what we're looking at. And obviously, after the holiday time, we usually try to make a few trips down to the coast to do some sea fishing. So we're looking forward to that also, inshallah.
I mean, inshallah. So there will be something interesting. That after Ramadan, of course, we're making plans already. But then, of course, we, like we say, for now, our full focus should be on the month of Ramadan. Our full focus should be on the month of Ramadan. All right, let's move with the program for today. We have Brother Lukman with us on the line. Lukman, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. How are you, Malana?
Alhamdulillah, Nasan Lukman.
Shukran. Assalamu alaikum to Adil and to all the listeners also.
Assalamualaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh. Now, Mulana, Lukman and I were busy chatting, and we said to make the program a little bit exciting today, inshallah, we're going to do a giveaway. Solis Angler's Corner is sponsoring a fishing rod and reel combo for today. The format of the competition, when we do open the lines, will basically be first three callers. What we'll do is we'll take their fishing stories. So we want to hear from them what's their best fishing story. And, of course, from there we will obviously Lukman will probably be listening off-air, and he'll give us a thumbs up for which one was the best fishing story, inshallah. And then whoever gets the best fishing story for today, inshallah, will win that excellent fishing rod and reel combo from Solis Angler's Corner. So jazakallah so much for that, Lukman. But let's
always a pleasure. Always.
Yeah. No, definitely. Let's get back to your particular program. Now, obviously, we know coming up to Ramadan, we're going to be expecting some nasiya, mashallah, from our Lukman. But in terms of fishing, you know, is there anything that is happening on the fishing front currently or in the last couple of weekends that you're going to want to share with us, Lukman?
So, gee, we had some very good reports, first of all, offshore, you know, guys that were doing deep-sea fishing out of Durban and the south coast of Natal. Some very big barracuda have been caught. I don't know if you've been watching probably the on social media. A guy got a 50 kilo. That is a really, really big fish. I've seen the photos in it. So those guys are catching a lot of big barracuda at the moment. I mean, I had a client from Natal that phoned us in the week. Now, normally, when you're fishing for kuta, you've got to use a piano or steel wire as your trace, you know, at least a meter of it. And they're using probably around 80 pounds, which is 40 kilo wire, and they're getting bitten off. So they were looking for something a bit stronger. So that in itself tells you the big kuta that are around, if they can bite off 86 or 90 pound piano wire, which is a single-strand stainless steel wire that these fish are biting off. So, alhamdulillah, so any of the deep-sea fishermen out there that from the Durban area that want to go for one last outing this weekend, you know, that's a species they should be targeting. And different areas, obviously, are holding different fish in different depth. So they'll have to just go out and see on the day itself what happens. Then we've had some very good reports from Upper Zambezi or in Zambia, from the Porotsi floodplains, where one of our clients from our four-way store went through and caught some really, really big tiger fish. So there again, tiger fish at the moment. But generally, this time of the year, that's what happens. The tiger fishing is very good in the Upper Zambezi. And they really caught well, a couple of 10-pounders, you know, 12-pounders. I think the biggest was a 15 or 18-pound fish, which is a really big fish for the river. Mm. Although in that area, there are records of about 20-pounders caught. Sure. So really big tiger fish being caught. As far as other good fishing is trout fishing. You know, winter is a trout fishing or trout season where your trout feed more actively. They actually prefer the colder water. So if there are any serious trout fishermen out there, this is the last weekend, they can quickly get a day or two fishing and go and try for some trout. And like you mentioned, you know, all the other species, whether it's carp, yellows, or bass, I would still buy it. It's just patience and make sure you're fishing in the right areas.
Right, let's just remind the listeners one more time very quickly with regard to the competition that we want to have. Please call us 011-854-1548. That is 011-854-1548. It was a fishy story there, the best of it. Lukman, just coming back to the coast. Generally, this would be, like you said, with regard to the Upper Zambezi and tiger fishing, this would be a good time generally for fishing in those areas as well, am I correct?
Gee, it is. And what happens also on the coast, you know, this time of the year, most fishermen anticipate the sardine run, which happens generally around June or July, depending on the temperature, you know, in the currents. If the water temperature is right, obviously they get pushed closer to shore. Or if it's a bit warmer, they'll still come past, but deeper out into the ocean. It all has to do with currents and water temperature. So that also happens, and when that happens, you know, fishing is all good. So I'm sure the Durban fishermen are anxiously waiting for the sardine run to happen.
So, man, in terms of, you know, we were last 2 weeks, we spoke about different products. Are there anything, you know, is there any other type of a product that's out there that's sort of going to assist the guy when he's doing fishing during the winter season?
Well, we mentioned, obviously, that I think we mentioned it on the last program about those special puffs that we imported that face shields and face masks that protects you from the wind in it.
Right.
Then Conoflex itself, they've also developed a new feed, which is also similar to the Supercast that SVP that we spoke about a month ago. So
right.
It's all feed that's high protein and ready to use, you know, without you having to add anything. It's, you know, in this day and age, we live in an instant age, you know, it's instant internet, instant coffee, instant. So the feed has also become instant for the carp fishing, where you just add your water, leave it for a few minutes to soak, and you're ready to fish.
When you talk about feed, I'm thinking about the specimen carp, and I mean, we've spoken to quite a few guys that do specimen carp over the past few years. They always talk about feeding a spot. Is this the type of feed that you're talking about for feeding a spot, or is this something that just goes on your millibomb?
No, this is a traditional millibomb or ground feed, as it's commonly also known. So this is to put on your string when you're fishing, and then obviously, but a very good technique that a lot of the springbok fishermen use is before they actually start fishing, they would just take your spring or millibomb, whatever you want to call it, and just put feed around there without any hooks.
Right.
And just cast it to a particular area. So for about half an hour, all you do is casting in and reeling out and then feeding the spot in that way, creating a good feeding area. So for about half an hour, that's all they would do when they get there is just cast and reel in just to create the feeding spot. Then only do they start, they clip on the actual trace with your hooks and your bait already baited up. So net is a correct technique to do it when you're fishing. Four carp and you're using millibomb is to first just create your feeding spot and then you put your actual bait onto the trace and start fishing.
Now that you're talking about it, I've actually seen some guys use a slingshot to shoot some, I don't know what sort of hard type of bait into the water. I'm not sure if it's the boilies or whatever, just to get it into that area. Is this a common practice?
It is a common practice. But and what they do is they make balls. You can make it yourself, or we do sell them in the shop. It's either balls made with a mixture of millibomb and a bit of molasses just to bind it and get it over time. The only problem with that is with a slingshot, you know, you're limited to distance.
All right.
Or with your normal rods and that, you casting to the area that you're actually fishing. But unless you got a very powerful slingshot, you're not going to get with a slingshot more than probably 50 meters or so. Whereas with your rod, when you're doing that feeding technique, you can get your 100 or 120 meters with it if you're a good caster.
Mm-hmm. So that's definitely a more effective way of doing it.
Definitely more effective.
Lukman, now the Nasiya.
Nasiya for what? We can only give Nasiya for fishing, nothing.
We're coming up to Ramadan, inshallah. Any last words before you go back to the counter?
It's, in Ramadan, you know, when you're not reading Quran and you're tired of all the tasbihs and the Quran, then take out your fishing tackle and start cleaning it up for after Ramadan. Cleaning your tackle boxes. So in that way, you're not in anybody's way. You're not fighting with anybody. You're not committing any guna. So if you're not reading Quran or reading tasbih, or you're not sleeping, then rather just quietly in one corner or in your fishing room or in your garage, just sort your tackle out, and inshallah you'll be out of everybody.
It's such an important thing in terms of getting your gear ready for the next season. What sort of maintenance services do you guys do in terms of you know, basically giving advice on the line and the reels, you know, servicing of reels, etc.? What about rod tips and stuff?
Inshallah, what we do at the shop is we have always offered it as an extra service to our customers, is we do reel repairs and services. That means if guys got reels that are broken or needs to be fixed or whatever, you can come into, or even just a general service, you know, re-oil, re-grease, re-spool line if your line is brittle or hard or is frayed or nick. You can bring it in, we can re-spool it, have your reels cleaned up. Same thing with rods. If you got, you know, a lot of the guys just dump their rods in a corner in a garage without actually sorting them out. And only when you go fishing, you realize this one's tip is broken or that one's eye is damaged. Mm. So this is, like I say, it's a good time of the year for you to sit, clean, sort out your rods. We do repairs on rods as well. You know, if guys' eyes are damaged and want new guides put on, or rods that are actually broken, we do repairs on them. So, no, we do offer it. And if you want to do just general cleaning, you know, on your rods and reels, you can just take normal warm water with a little bit of soap, you know, either sunlight liquid or a bit of surf or whatever in a little bowl, and then just wipe all your rods down nicely. We do sell special sprays, which is silicone based, you know, you get tackle guards, or you get the WD-40 or Q20 or something like that. Mm. Also good, where you can just take your rods out first, clean them out with a soapy water, and then spray all your working parts. That, in that way, you know, for the next trip, your tackle is sorted out.
So you mean by the end of Ramadan, Lukman, when the guys are ready, then there's nothing to be done?
Nothing to be ready, that means the day after Eid, or even after you have your big chow of or big pot of biryani or whatever, you can start fishing.
Excellent advice there, Lukman. Mia, jazakallah so much, and once again thank you to Solly's Angler's Corner for sponsoring today's prize, which is a beautiful fishing rod and reel combo, which will be supplied obviously by Swally's Angler's Corner. Mulana, again we're going to be asking our listeners, but before we do that, let's get Lukman to sign out so he can go back to the shop. Jazakallah so much for that. Assalamu alaikum, Lukman.
Walaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
All right, it's 27 minutes to 9. You are listening to Radio Islam International, the program known as Screaming Reels. Adil, moving on with our program, we have Brother Muhammad Patel with us on the line as well, Osama indicating. Let's continue and also reminded to the listeners, we want a fishy story from you. We want something interesting, one of your fishing trips. Tell us about it, what transpired, what happened, something interesting about it. Whatever you need to say, even if it was your husband swallowing a frog, Adil.
Yeah.
You remember that one?
Let's see about that one.
Even if it's something like that. Okay, so let's continue. We've got Brother Muhammad Patel. Muhammad, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam to you, Mulana, and Adil, all the listeners of Radio Islam.
See, today we had you on hold for quite a while. We apologize for that. But they say generally fishermen got a lot of patience and sabr, Muhammad.
Gee, 100%. I'm enjoying Luqman's talk there. Some good advice he's given.
Mohammed, last week we were getting into the actual trailer and what sort of things are needed for the trailer in particular. And one of the very interesting things that came up in the discussion was obviously looking at your tires and how to check whether your tires are in good condition. And I think one of the very valuable things that you did tell us last week was obviously not to overinflate the tires so that you have a little bit of a bounce on the very, very rough roads. One of the questions one of the listeners actually was asking about is in terms of making your trailer more visible, what sort of reflector tape do you put and where do you put the reflector tape? So if you can answer that one before you actually go into any further discussion.
Yeah, it is. Very good question, which is actually now set in law. I was actually quite surprised. We've taken a trailer about a year back, about for roadworthy, and they actually failed the trailer. So we were like, why, you know? And the guy said, no, you got to have proper chevron tape. You can buy the 3M reflective tape, always in the orangish yellow, yellow color.
Mm-hmm.
It's got to be on the sides of the trailer, quite visible to others out there to see it. And these guys actually failed, the trailer. They didn't pass it because they didn't have any visible chevron tape on the side. They only had at the back of the trailer. So legally, requirements are to have tape on the side of the trailer so users can always, other road users can see you early part of the morning, you know, coming from either left or right hand side. You can be quite visible to them. So that is a very big requirement, and that tape can be purchased basically from any motor spare shop. I always advise to buy the 3M brand because there's a much far superior adhesive to stick on the metal of the trailer, you know. A few hints and tips, depending on the type of trailer you got, the quality of the steel and the way it's been prepared, meaning some people can have what we call galvanized trailers, others can have painted trailers, others can have powder coated trailers. There's such a vast a variety of different finishes and trailers, you know. So always looking at that, if you have to look at a galvanized trailer, I would say before putting the tape on, Luqman mentioned earlier on as well, I would rather just go with a little warm water and sunlight soap rather than other soapy products that will leave a residue in it.
Yeah, nothing abrasive, something smooth.
That's it. Just to clean the surface, prepare the surface before you stick that tape on. Certain trailers, depending on how heavily powder coated they are, will be a little bit of an issue. This is why I say always buy the 3M tape with a far superior adhesive, you know. But other than that, just preparing, cleaning up, avoid stuff like thinners and turps and things like that can actually remove your paint. Just warm water, soap, clean it up to take any grease or anything of that sort. One can use a bit of degreaser, but also just go a bit light on that because you don't want to have to delaminate the paint or take off any paint, you know.
Mohammed, does when applying the reflective tape, do you basically go from one end to the other end, or is it just pieces that you've got to put on, or is there a requirement? Let's put it that way.
You're supposed to go from one end to the other end. I don't know actually how to explain that properly. Where the trailer bends in front, certain trailers come, basically the front part of your trailer is more sharper in terms of the steel. So the steel comes in from wide to narrow in front.
Mm-hmm.
So just before you get to the narrows, you know, you can stop around there. But some of the trailers that we do, we put what we call marker lamps on the side, which makes it even more visible. You know, you get the orange marker lamps. Some countries it's not allowed. We haven't had an issue. As long as the marker lamp is an orange color on the side, you know, not something bright that another road user will think, hey, this is an oncoming car or something, you know, having a different color light shining out from that angle. So you can cut in pieces in between if there's any obstructions, anything on the side. You can cut in pieces in between and shape it off with either Stanley or a nice art knife to finish it off nicely, you know.
I think maybe a safer option would obviously be to go to the sonar guys.
Yes, always 100%, because you know of the amount of work that we've done and the experiences that we've got with these types of things. It's fairly inexpensive to get the tape done on the side. Sometimes we have trailers that are like, how can I say, they look almost beyond repair, you know, on the side, rusted and rigid and stuff, you know, also depending on that.
So you need extra work, yeah.
Correct.
That's what I was going to ask, Mohammed. You spoke about the trailer getting rusted now, of course, going to the water, coming out of the water. Is there any way, yes, perhaps you can prevent it, but in terms of treating something like that?
You see what we've been doing on trailer repairs and redoing trailers. For the last, I think, four trailers that we've revamped, we're using a special stone chip product. But what we do is, when we do redo the trailer, obviously we have the trailer either sandblasted to remove all paintwork and blemishes or anything on the trailer. And then we look for any structural damage in the skeletal structure of the trailer. The cross beams either having cracks or cracked welding or anything like that. So you've got to grind that down, re-weld those damaged areas. Some areas you've got to reinforce, either put like a piece of steel, you know, to reinforce it even more. I think preparation also with that. After that, what we'll do is we primer the trailer first, give it a good coat of primer, and then we would put on what we call a stone chip. It almost looks like a powder coating, but it gives it like that rubberized finish, but a very fine rubberized finish, so it doesn't look also like a too rugged, you know, it looks classy, it looks nice. And over that, what we do is we paint it up either with a 2K paint or whatever color the customer wants, you know. And if you do get stone chips and stuff like that, it'll knock like the paint off, but you still have your stone chip as an undercoating. So in terms of life span and rigidness of the trailer, you know, we've got a couple of trailers running for already, I'd say at least 5 years, and they still look very good, you know. So also preparing trailer, doing the paint work and stuff on the trailer, I think that is also very important. But obviously some people buy standard trailers that have already been painted and already been done. Advice there would, if it's a black trailer or white trailer, depending on the color, you know, you can always just buy either what we call touch-up paint or can of spray that's very similar to that color. So every time you get a few stone chips that penetrate the paint and you know, expose the raw steel of the trailer, I would always advise to, you know, have that touched up before rust or water gets to it, you know?
I suppose that would obviously sort of open up to rusting if it's not checked at the same time.
Correct. You know, and when rust gets into a trailer, it's a big problem, always a big problem.
Well, Mohammed Patel, I'm looking at the time now, and we still haven't yet received any calls. So just quickly, another word to our listeners. Hello, please. Listeners, can you please... looks like some of the guys are still sleeping, Molana.
No, they got into Ramzan mode already.
Yeah, Ramzan, yeah.
And I think they all waited for that. You know, we said to the listeners that this week, no calls, nothing is happening. We're making the program interesting for them. We were supposed to be out ourselves, but unfortunately, like we said early on, we had to be stuck this week here in studio. Well, Mohammed, perhaps you can, like we said to Luqman Mia as well, some last words just before the month of Ramadan from your side, and then we'll have to continue. We're not even finished trailers as yet. We're still going to get to the top of that, which is the most important part of it, the boat itself and the motors and things like that. But that we'll have to continue another time, inshallah. Maybe if you just want to say to our listeners, you're also into fishing. Maybe you can give us some reports, come now into the June, July, August time, that time of the year, the winter months. Where would you advise people, of course, not now in Ramadan, but after Ramadan, or what sort of plans perhaps you have?
I was also supposed to be on the water today, but unfortunately, I didn't have a partner to go with. I wanted to do the last tournament now before Ramadan. So, I didn't have a partner.
You see, no, this is a bit dangerous, Mohammed. on air now, you're saying that, you should have just made that phone call, brother.
You
would have had a partner with you, right or wrong, Adi?
Again, is it best tournament, Mohammed?
Yes, on the Gnostic Cup then.
Everything was prepared. Said that is an avid, best angler, eh? He's so good once. One day he broke a fishing rod trying to pull a bass out while talking on air.
That's tough. Now, when it comes to fishing, I've noticed in the last couple of years, a lot of people go pre-spawn or prior to the spawn, have their trips prepared either to, let's say, Boko, Botswana, or any of these big fish dams like in Zimbabwe or somewhere there. My advice is always try to, it's going to cause chaos, but always try to plan your trip, the end of July, first week of August. You're not gonna get a lot of fish. But if you're aiming to catch a really, really huge fish, that's the time to go. We had a trip once to Botswana. It was just crazy. We timed it 100% right. On that particular trip, we got two bass over 6 kilos. We got at least, I think, about six. And if I stand to be corrected, Luqman was with us on that trip. And his two connections from, what is that place? But anyway, two of his connections got their personal best. I think one was 5.6 kilos as well. Mm. And the fishing was it was great. It wasn't lots of fish, but we had quality sizes. And don't be afraid to fish deeper than normal. Look, even if one doesn't have electronics on their boat and, how can I say, those fancy features that one would like to have, don't be afraid to fish deep. Now, how you'd actually know where it's deep and not deep, always look at the side of the bank that you're fishing. Now, a telltale sign would be, if you look out in the open, like on a field, for example, you'll see the field run flat. That obviously in my eyes would be a very shallow bank. And when you see a bank where you've got really steep hills on the side and places like that, that would be a deeper bank. Don't be afraid to fish a bit deeper, fish a bit slower. A lot of these bigger fish, don't just, go for anything, just eat anything. Sometimes you got to leave that bait sitting there for up to about 40 seconds to a minute and then move it before that big bass can actually eat it, So don't be afraid to throw really big baits, fish deeper, and then just have a bit of patience to get a really, really huge fish.
Mm, definitely.
I think that's priceless information. I know definitely. I can picture exactly what you're talking about. And I'm definitely going to look into something like that the next time I go fishing. I know once we were at Feigeboom, and we were actually on the bank, but we were on a very steep cliff, casting right down, straight down, into the water, and there was a lot of fish there. At that particular spot. So, Definitely good advice from Muhammad Patel. I thought when you said if you don't have any fancy fish finding equipment, and they can just give you a call. But obviously coming out to the end of the season, and we're going to be speaking to you probably only after a couple of weeks. Let's just quickly give out some information regarding the sonar guys and how they can get into contact with you, Mohammed.
Before I go into that, another advice that maybe the listeners out there can just Google or read up on is have a look at the color spectrum and its depth. What I mean by that is a lot of people would think, okay, I'll throw a black fluke or whatever in 20 foot of water, on really deep water, and then you find that you're not really getting bites from the black fluke, and then you go out to 5 foot of water and you're getting crazy bites. Remember, the color, different colors can be seen differently at different depths. My favorite being something of a purple, purplish color in really deep water, or something of that silhouette. So the purple can be seen at really great depths. For example, black turns almost invisible, see-through at great depths. So just Google a bit more on that, read a bit more on that, and that will also, change your whole outlook on fishing different baits and different colors at different depths.
You know, Mohammed, you're saying this. I actually seen one day that this article I was reading up, and I then watched it on YouTube, actually, where how your colors actually go different as it reaches different depths in the water.
Gee, 100%. And like I say, we found, you take a big bait, sometimes that bait is like almost an ounce, A 1 ounce bait on a bass is really heavy. And you think, that's a big, massive bait. For a bass, it's a really small. We were out in the water now the other day, and we found a kerpa of about 300 grams stuck in a fish that was just under 2 kilos, stuck in his mouth because, he was busy eating on that. And we've seen plenty of that where you find bass eating really huge baits, and really much bigger fish than you would think they'd actually eat. And this bass topic, it's just crazy. It's why I like it so much. I used to be a carp fisherman, kerpa fisherman, and it's very enjoyable, especially fly fisherman. I still love fishing fly for yellows in the river. And then it came to a point where, the knowledge just, okay, that's enough. It's so easy, I can catch them and at any time, any place. But with a bass, it's always a mind game. You always got to be thinking and thinking and thinking. And there's always something different in bass fishing. That's what makes it so exciting. Regarding my information, my cell phone number is 082-689-8000. And my website, you can view it at www.thesonarguys.co.za. You get our other contact details from there, my email addresses, and whatever information you need from my website.
Well, once again, Jazakumullah for your time, excellent advice also, and we say, inshallah, Allah give you a wonderful Ramadan, accept your ibadah, inshallah, in the month of Ramadan, and we'll catch up with you after that.
Amen. To you too, and all the Radio Islam listeners, have a great Ramadan. Inshallah, we see you after Ramadan again.
Inshallah. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum.
So, we're basically sitting here, Mulana, and we've got a rod and a reel combo by Solid Angler's Corner. And the sad thing is that nobody's calling for that particular thing. But the problem is, I think we've made it too difficult because we've said that we want a fishy story. And it looks like in a whole of screaming reels land, let's call it that. Maybe only you and I and a couple of other guys are actually the fishermen. More and more people need to start going out fishing, looks like it.
I was actually thinking of leaving you on air for a while, and going to make that call.
You'll have to change your voice. Yeah
that's possible. Well, I think Usana also indicating that we got a whole batch of Edson to catch up on, still got the sponsor of the program. So we got quite a few things that we actually still got to catch up on. And looking at the time, we don't even have much time left. So I think we should even start wrapping up the program for this weekend. Adil, Ramadan, you'll be back at home, of course, in Azadul, but then last 2 weeks of Ramadan should be holidays as well. As much as you know, many times you feel that you know, just to be occupied in Ramadan kind of makes it easier. You know, you don't feel the fast much. But then again, now being in the winter months, Adil, how many people on a regular basis could be keeping fast? Because I mean, they would leave, yes, have a breakfast perhaps at home in the morning, but they're leaving already after Fajr for work, perhaps not even having lunch many times, getting home only around Asr or Maghrib time as it is. And you know, it's like a full day. Of course, it's not the same if you are not fasting. The month of Ramadan brings a different type of reward, different type of mercy, different times, a different type of barakah from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's side. But when you are a little bit free, Adil, comparatively to another Ramadan where you perhaps never had the time, you could spend much more time making ibadah as well, Adil.
Definitely, Mana. Inshallah, looking forward to that. And let us hope and make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes it easy for everybody, especially people all over the world, and in those countries where, you know, the Muslims are suffering. Our duas are with them, inshallah, make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes it easy, you know, especially for the children. You always see it's the children that suffer the most. You know, and we make dua that Allah Ta'ala makes it easy and that, you know, grants everybody a good Ramadan, inshallah.
Ameen, inshallah. Adil, once again, jazakumullah. It was wonderful being with you from last Ramadan to this Ramadan. This year, Adil, we had a few good fishing trips that we got out together. We'll have to continue that after Ramadan as well, Adil.
Inshallah, definitely. It's season 6. Coming up, inshallah, in the next you know, segment after the Ramadan period of screaming reels. Believe it or not, we've been around for a long time, mashallah, and still going strong. Lots of new additions. We've had the Farooq Hassan slot where he talks about the bush. And, you know, coming in with Mohammed Patel. Some very interesting stories, you know, particularly the ones that stick with me are the Adil Kaji interviews. So we'll probably get a hold of him, inshallah, next time to see which exotic place he's been to. And, yeah, we look forward, inshallah, to season 6. Mulana Sajjad Timol, you know, look after yourself, inshallah. We will chat again. Hopefully, we'll be at the water when we're starting the next season. And to remember us, inshallah, in your pious duas. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh to Mulana Sajjad Timol and to all our wonderful, wonderful listeners.
Alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Yes, we say jazakumullah to our listeners as well. Inshallah, we'll catch up with you in the month of Ramadan. Some lovely programs coming up as well, inshallah. And also not to forget, after that, getting back to the Screaming Reels program. Bring us to the end of another edition of the Screaming Reels program. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.